The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood here, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
One of the reasons that I love baptizing babies, as I've done this morning with Bella, is because my own baptism was such a significant event in my life. Many of you will have heard me talk about this before, but partly because it is so significant to me, and now you get to hear me talk about it again. Lucky you. But the family that I come from is not a particularly religious family. But when I was 5 years old, I asked my parents if I could be baptized, christened, exactly what we've done this morning for Bella. I'm not sure why I asked to be baptized. I can only assume that in a lesson at school we had learned about it, or perhaps we had visited the local church. At that stage, my dad was an atheist. He still is, actually. My mum was a bit more open, but she was willing to take myself and my younger brother along to the local church, a lot like this one. My mum told the vicar that I had asked to be baptised, and he took, at the age of five, my request seriously, and so I was baptised and welcomed into God's family. And I remember standing on a chair and leaning over the font and being baptised just as Bella was this morning. It remains one of the most significant events in my life because it was the beginning of my journey of faith. And though I didn't know it then, it was a response to God's call to me to be part of his family, the same call that he makes to everybody, extends that invitation to belong to his family. And then when I was 12 years old, I heard the call again in a slightly different way. And at that point, it was a call that would ultimately lead to me being here today and being a vicar. I was 12 years old. So when I hear the Bible story that we've heard this morning about the boy Samuel who was 5, 6, 7 years old, who knows, it resonates with me. And it resonates with me because it's more than just a nice Bible story. I hear it and I think, that's my story. And I know looking around the room that for some of you, you feel in some ways that's your story too. We know that God speaks, and actually we know that God still speaks today. And when we realize it's God and we start listening, it can shape the course of our lives and it can impact the lives of others too. So I just want to draw a few things out of this story this morning to help us think about that idea of God speaking. Now, the first thing that I notice in the story is the name Samuel, because the name Samuel means heard by God. And for those who are unfamiliar with the story of Samuel, if you flick back a couple of chapters to 1 Samuel 1, we meet Samuel's mother, Hannah. And we're told in chapter 1 that she was deeply distressed because she was unable to have children. It's actually a very affecting couple of chapters which really expresses that grief in quite an honest way. Year after year, we're told that she went up to the temple to express that grief to God and to pray, and eventually God heard her prayer. So she named Samuel God Hears, but also as a sign of her gratitude, she promised that she would dedicate Samuel to God and that he would grow up in the temple serving God. So the first thing that we need to notice at the start of the story is that before God speaks, God listens and God hears. That means that God listens to us and God hears us. I think especially when they are prayers prayed in grief. The second thing that stands out at the start of this story is from verse 1. It says, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. It's another way of saying God was quiet. God wasn't speaking. And then when you look at the earlier part of the story, it seems that God was quiet because people, and in this case in particular the priests, had stopped listening to God. It was problematic because the priests had a lot of political and religious power. They were effectively some of the leaders in their nations, but they were no longer listening to God. God was listening, but the people had stopped listening. And so God needed a prophet who would speak on his behalf and would help people to hear his voice again. And that prophet is the boy Samuel. So even at a young age, God has this incredible purpose for his life. So then when we get into the main body of the story, as we heard from E, on three occasions, Samuel hears his name being called. He assumes it's Eli. He gets out of bed. He goes to him. And each time Eli explains, no, it's not me that has called. And he sends him back to bed. And the narrator of the story tells us this interesting detail. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So there's something there about the way almost that faith comes to life, that God is involved in bringing it to life. I have two teenagers, both of whom are at home, still in bed. They have two totally different approaches to getting out of bed in the morning. One of them has a light that comes on early before they need to wake up, and that light gradually, gently, slowly wakes them up in a naturalistic way until they are ready to get out of bed and face the day and be well prepared. The other one leaves it to the last possible minute until I've multiply knocked on the door, and then eventually I go in and switch the light switch on, plunge them into light, and they are awake and cannot go back to sleep. Sometimes I think experiences of faith can be a bit like that. For some of us, faith is like the dimmer switch, just gradually turning on and slowly getting brighter and brighter, and almost that we don't notice it happening until one day we look back and we sort of think, well, I always seem to have had a faith. I sort of have always believed, but it seems to be stronger now than it was in the past. And but for others of us, it's like God switches a light on and we are spiritually woken up. That's what happened to me at the age of 12. It's just like the light came on and I went, this is real. God is real. This is it. I wonder for you, if you look back, have you ever had an experience where you feel like faith has come to life? Maybe you are in the middle of that happening for you now. Maybe it's something that might happen in the future, that God will just slowly brighten the light of faith. So this story is Samuel's wake-up call from God. Now, Eli realizes what's happening. He realizes it's God who is calling to Samuel. So he advises Samuel, go back to bed, and if God calls again, say to God, speak, for your servant is listening. One of the things that seems to be happening here is that when God calls to Samuel, I don't think it is an audible voice, because otherwise, probably Eli would have heard it, which means that somehow that Samuel was hearing this voice, and I'd like to sort of say perhaps he was hearing it as a kind of inner voice. Sometimes when God's speaking to us or calling us to do something, and it could be anything that God is calling us to do, it begins with this funny inner voice. I've sometimes heard people call it a nagging feeling. It was this thing that just sort of wouldn't go away, or a nudge, I've heard people say as well. And often we assume, well, maybe it's my own voice, perhaps because we think, well, God wouldn't speak to me. But I wonder if sometimes that little inner voice, that nudge, something that's drawing us, is actually the beginning of God speaking. here are some of the things that God might say through that inner voice. I've always wanted to be a foster carer. I'm wondering about giving up my job, even though it's really good, and taking a job that is not paid so well, but just feels more meaningful. I think I might like to study theology just because I want to know more about my faith. I love playing the piano. I wonder if they need any more musicians in church. I love teaching at an inner city school. It's really hard and personally costly, but I still want to do it. Or maybe I wonder what it's like to stand behind the altar and do what the vicar does. For me, a sense of call can sometimes begin with the inner voice saying things like that. Samuel doesn't know where the voice is coming from, so he needs Eli to be alongside him to help him discern that it is God that's calling. And likewise, actually, we might need people alongside us who say things like, you know that thing you mentioned to me? I think there is something in it. I think it could be God. I wonder if God is encouraging you to do that. I know that I wouldn't be here today if there hadn't been people along the way who said, actually, have you thought about doing that? So perhaps there are times where we need someone alongside us, or maybe there are times where we're meant to be like Eli to someone else and to encourage them and say to them, I think your little inner voice could be the voice of God trying to speak to you. And if this sermon is making you feel uncomfortable, like, I have had a nagging feeling and now the vicar's talking about it, which makes it even more uncomfortable, then perhaps you ought to find an Eli to say, I'm wondering if this nagging feeling is God. Now, I don't know about you, but I am someone who is an activist, and consequently, I find it hard to A, sit still. Chris is looking at me going, that is so true, she cannot sit still. I also find it hard to listen to God. I can tell you now, if someone said, could you just sort of sit down for 20 minutes and be still and quiet and listen to God? No, I couldn't. I just can't sit still in that way. But about 13 years ago, it was a period in life where I needed to think about the future and what I was going to do next. And so I went on a retreat where it was time to just step away from the pressures of normal life. I switched off my phone and I wanted to listen to God. And I filled my 3 days in this convent with lots of worthy religious activities. I read a worthy book and I went for lots of walks and I talked at God an awful lot. And I didn't have any sense of, you know, the light coming on, ta-da, this is what I should do. Until overnight, 50 centimetres of snow fell and I was basically trapped and I couldn't walk because the snow was too deep and I couldn't drive home because I was snowed in. And suddenly it's like God went, you know, you said you wanted to listen. You've exhausted all of your worthy activities and now you can't go home and you can't go for a run or a walk. It's time to listen. And interestingly, that retreat determined what I did for the next 3 years. It was a major life decision that impacted our whole family. I think if you do what Samuel did, if you have that nagging feeling, if you just think there's just this sense, could it be God? If you say to God, I want to listen, even if you can't sit still and listen, God will find a way to speak, and you will hear the voice of God. In my experience, God does not come and stand next to my bed like he did in this story. It is much more the sense of a feeling, a conversation, a growing sense, another conversation. Somebody says something weird and coincidental. How could they have even known that? And bit by bit, it's like it just builds until I think God might be saying something. The final thing that strikes me from this story is that when God called Samuel, he didn't call Samuel for Samuel's sake, as in, this is a call that's going to make you feel really important, Samuel, and I'm choosing you because you're really special. He asked Samuel to do something for the sake of others, because ultimately Samuel was going to be a prophet to the nation and it would shape the course of the life of the nation. I have often heard people doubt a sense of call, try and switch off the little inner voice because they go, but why would God choose me? Well, who am I? in that sort of sense of I'm not worthy. But I just wonder if sometimes God wants to say, it's not about you, it is actually for the sake of others. I am calling you to this for them. Yes, you will receive a sense of fulfillment. Yes, you will be stretched. Yes, you will grow and learn. But maybe we just overthink it, like, well, why me? And perhaps God is just saying, I'm asking you to do this for them or for that need or to make this difference. Did I always want to be a vicar? No, I didn't. I wanted to be prime minister. Did I want to be a vicar? No, because I thought I was far cooler than vicars are. I literally would have been like, I don't want to be a vicar. They're not cool. I'm cool. I'm not anymore. I didn't want to be a vicar, but do I love baptizing babies and children and adults? Yes, I do. Sometimes I have to bite back the tears because I find it so moving and powerful to meet another little human who is on this way to becoming who knows who she will be and what she will be and is at the beginning of the journey of faith that leads who knows where. I find it thrilling, the sense of becoming and the adventure that is in front of them. And sometimes the call is not about us. Maybe God didn't call me to be a vicar to make me feel good about being a vicar. Maybe he called me to be a vicar to serve others because that's what my gifts are suited to. This story is a wonderful spiritual wake-up call. I think God wants to call to all of us in all sorts of different ways, whether it is about your work or whether it's about your family and being a foster carer, whether it is about what you do in the life of the church, whether it is about the talents that you have and where and how you use them. God is speaking, so listen. Amen. Let's take a moment, maybe just tune in a bit to your inner voice. What is calling to you or drawing you? Do you have a sense of longing or desire that might be God planting a seed that needs to grow?